Forever Dog. Race Chaser.
Hellowingtons, Heather Hellowingtons, and welcome back to Race Chaser Classic, a podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What's yours?
Hello, I'm Willem.
Welcome to a really early morning edition of Race Chasums today.
I had to move my laptop up because I said I look like an old AOL pervert from this angle.
Do you know what it's like to wake up at 8 in the morning to watch the finale of All Stars 1? I mean, it's very strange. Our life is debilitating.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
I watched it at 2 a.m. last night before I went to bed. I was like, I got to watch something before we go to bed. And they're like, what? And I was like, they're like, Lovecraft Country? And I was like, no, I saw that already. It's All Stars 1, the finale episode. They just like looked at me and I was like, it's for work.
I will admit, though, that recently, like, I don't know, a few months ago, we sat around and watched All Stars 1 over here just for fun. It's a quick little season and it's thoroughly watchable overall. And I've enjoyed this journey that we've had.
A cast of characters you know, you love.
Yeah.
Once Mimi's gone.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, just to keep you abreast of what is going on, last week the top two teams competed in a day walking basketball match in heels, wigs, stubble, and no lashes. Mm-hmm. And on the main stage, they presented Good versus Evil! And comic book dynamic duos. Team Shad. One with the story of Firecrotch and Lactasia with laser beams out of her breasts.
AI
and
tech.
Rujubi were forced to lip sync against one another under duress. In a shocking twist, no one got sent home. And we have a final four for the grand finale.
RuPaul said, fuck these rules. I made them.
Yeah. And yeah. I think the final four just kind of rounds out the episode better anyway. And
totally.
And there only would have been one getaway van driver, probably.
I wonder if Delta and Angina were also slated for that season like I was. And then they were just like, oh, here, we got a little bit part for you.
Do you have your driver's license?
Are you available for assorted skits and scats?
Class C vehicle? What's your clearance?
The winner of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars.
Tell us what they'll win.
Will secure a place in the Drag Race Hall of Fame, receive a sickening supply of MAC cosmetics, a one-of-a-kind trip courtesy of AlanChuck.fuck.travel, a custom crown designed by Fierce Drag Jewels, and a cash prize of $100,000.
And a cash prize of $1. And a cash prize of Raven Simone. Yay! Yes, all
four.
The girls are in it for themselves now. No more teams ever, Tina.
I mean, we don't know that. They could do teams again one day.
Right. It could happen. They do it on like Project Runway and stuff.
Nice.
Chad walks into the workroom carrying two wigs on wig heads. I didn't notice that, but it's on the outline.
Yeah, he's got his own little team right now because he's got two wigs. He's got like one of the old school like styling things with the posts and everything. I just have like a 2x4 with a plumbing flange.
That's always a good way to do it.
Yeah,
I saw this one queen come to with a bar stool upside down with four wig heads on it to the gig at Here Lounge.
Uh huh.
Okay, work.
Who's changing hair four times at Here Lounge? There's not even a good mirror. The handicap bathroom, that it's either filled with people that just took a shit, people that want to do coke, or people
or
that
Raven.
Are in drag. Well, all those people. The video mess.
What's a flange?
A flange is like the part that flanges out at the base of a plumbing thing that you screw into a wall, and then the pipe screws into it, and then you can put a wig on it.
Yes.
Or it's that red part around your... Never mind.
Oh, my gosh.
Never mind. Oh, it's a video message. Ooh, girl. Whoop, whoop, got... whoop, whoop. Boop, boop. Put your...
Hello.
My top all-stars. Seems we just get started, and before you know it, yeah, I can't do the voice. You do it. You do it.
Hello, my top all stars.
There she is.
Seems we just get started, and before you know it, comes the time we have to say, get your ass in gear, ladies. Are your hearts racing? Are you running out of steam? Well, pull yourself together, Tina, because it's a mad, 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 mad world, and you've got a date with destiny. Oh, and winning is what becomes a legend most. What could it mean? I don't know what it means.
I thought it was something to do with fur, because, like, that's like a that's a Black Gamma quote, what becomes a legend most.
Oh, okay.
Like, all these famous women would do, like, ads and, like, these big fur coats. Like, I think Janet Jackson, Diane Carroll, like...
Did Donna Summer do it?
Everybody did it.
Sick Joan Rivers...
Yeah, like furs back in the day. Not the furs anymore.
Well, oh my gosh. Oh, look who's here.
Oh, I didn't know she would be here.
I wasn't expecting
to see
you.
What a treat. RuPaul sashays right in, and she says that the girls' maxi challenge this week is taking their charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent on the road, as all four will be headlining gigs at the world famous Comedy Store, which is right on Sunset. And they'll need to work up a hilarious routine that kills the people. And each queen will have one-on-one time with Sherry O'Terry from SNL to work out the routine. She was like, she was on SNL, all the good characters. She was, was she cheerleader? Yeah, she was a cheerleader with Will Ferrell.
I have such fond memories of Sherry O'Terry, because that was my, like, adolescent SNL years, and she's an icon. This is very a privilege, and the Comedy Store is a very famous comedy venue.
Yeah,
and the girls get to do a show. But there's more. What? The queens have also been triple booked for two more gigs, okay? An early morning interview with celebrity reporter Mark Malkin. And then they will rush off to make a personal appearance and receive a special honor. More details to come.
Who am I? Jules Long Beach? All these gigs in one day? Jesus Christ.
I like that they're doing this, because this has real world application.
It does.
How many times have you done a thing and you go to it?
How many times have you done a thing?
And you know, and so there's like a press thing in the morning, and then you have like another thing, then you have the meet and greet, and then you have the show, and then you have, you know, the after party. All this is a very real world application. I love it. See, how I do it, though, is I just wear the same thing to all of the events. But these girls are changing in the van.
Changing hair in the van.
They're changing hairs.
That's when you just part the wig on the other side and or shift it a little bit from center part to side part. Put a bobby pin in and a little hat.
See, guys.
Not a little top hat, though.
We should do that. We should recreate this.
I could totally do it. I mean,
do it in your Jeep, so there's literally no room to change whatsoever.
I could take the hood off
in the back seat of the Jeep.
Oh my God, no, thank you.
Both of us.
The girls are loaded at the same time with our feet driving. The girls are being loaded into drag mobiles to take them on this journey, and lo and behold, especially Angina to the ground. She is driving this car, sitting on several mini telephone books, and Delta is in the other one, just like looking like ready to go.
Yes.
This is a real world practical application. The only way this could be more of a typical drag queen's night in LA is like also trying to coordinate a Coke drop off.
Right.
Yeah, that's the only way.
So the ladies get to, they seem to immediately go right on stage and rehearse their comedy with Sherry O'Terry. So the writing session must have just been kind of cut out for time, because there's a lot in this episode.
They were probably like, girls, you're going to do your writing, and then we'll have you one-on-one with Sherry as you're ready. And then they put them down for the writing, and then like, okay, let's bring in the first girl. She's like, I don't have anything ready though yet. Well, Sherry's ready.
Sherry, we'll see you.
Yeah.
Go for Sherry.
Sherry's ready.
The Juju goes first. Sherry tells her, go with the family stuff. That's gold. Sherry tells Chad to lose the FUPA physical comedy showing your, you know.
Because your... how could he find an ounce of fat on his body? Chad is like the trimmest, fittest. Like, how was he going to do a FUPA joke?
Yeah, no. And I think it didn't really service the bit. I think it was better to excise that bit.
Excise the bit.
Sherry tells Chanel, start over.
Shoot closer to home.
Well,
your home.
Because Chanel.
Yeah,
Chanel,
I don't know.
Chanel is like, I am a white man stuck in a black woman's body, and I like smoking cigarettes and drinking a lot. And Sherry O'Terry is like, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that today. And she's like, you need to write from your own experience to write the jokes. And I agree with her. This is overall a very good consultation with Sherry, and she's very helpful and pointing them in the right direction.
She gives good words to Raven too. She says not to be so blue and to jump right in.
Don't work so blue.
Yeah. No. You don't have a lot of time. We're gonna take a break because we gotta make sure these girls have their proper permits.
Bye.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones. And, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite, and you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take down time and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you, and then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app. The Dragmobiles are here, and they are...
Beep, beep.
Vans.
The keys to the Jeep. They're vans.
These are the...
Whoop, whoop.
These are the vehicles that... are used to go from the studio to the hotel. Typically, they load all the queens in, and this is where you spend a lot of time on Drag
Race. You load the queens, and then you put them in the van. And my van was in an accident the first day when we pulled up to the zombie motel. I know I've told that story many times, but like I'm still shattered. There's pending litigation.
Several vertebrae.
I saw an attorney, and he had a billboard. His name was Sweet James. And I'm thinking about calling Sweet James. If y'all I've know seen, these Sweet James, James billboards with the lawyers, I'm like, Sweet James, he could take my case with World Wonder to the Supreme Court.
He could. Class still, action.
Girl, and then those zombies. Those zombies got me, too. So, me and Sweet James, right to the Supreme Court.
So sweet.
Sweet James.
SweetJames.com/drag.
Drag. Damn. Oh, no, my healer.
Chanel and Jujubee are being driven by Delta Work, our new Mom Network family member.
Affiliate flagship member.
Delta is gold.
Affiliate dragship member.
Yes. Totally. I would not ever mind seeing Delta on Drag Race in any capacity. She's so effortlessly funny and cutting and wry. Mm-hmm. So put some butter on it.
Girl, toast it too.
Yes. Chad and Raven are being driven by Angina, who just a few short years later will return to the All-Stars stage. Spoiler alert.
Why did they have two girls in each? I wish they would have had their own driver, you know? Because then there would have been more.
That would have been cool. Not enough fans. Did you notice the really extensive backdrops in the vans that are there? Oh,
sequin dot fabric, the finest.
Confetti dot ass fabric, ramshackly pinned to the top. These are not the We're Here vans by any means.
No,
okay,
this
is an afterthought. Because they have to hide the sound guy and the, you know, and the this guy and the other camera
people. That fabric is the devil. It could give a stucco wall a rash. It is the cheapest, worst fabric ever.
And don't get your hair anywhere near it.
By the way, since I mentioned several many times that I filmed on this lot where they filmed this program, the series, they literally drove around the building, not even the whole lot. From where they loaded in to where they dropped the girls off. It was just around that stage.
Because the interview is the first thing, and that's on site at the studio.
With celebrity interviewer Mark Malkin.
Yes. They opened their little dossier in the car, and it is telling them your mission should you choose to accept it. Right as they get into the interview, Mark Malkin says, so why would you want to win the show? And Raven says, are you fucking kidding me? And in the dossier it said, don't be too crude, because it's a mainstream outlet. And Mark Malkin is mortified. He has never heard such crass language before.
He's heard it.
It's hard though when you're a drag queen. It's hard to I have a dial that I can turn up and down in my brain of how much swears I can use, because left to my own devices I swear a lot because I'm from Erie, Pennsylvania. It's how we express ourselves.
Yeah, you would. Yeah.
But Chanel, certain outlets you can't do it.
No. Yeah. You need to keep it cute.
So, Chanel, or actually all of you ladies, what would you do with the money?
Maybe I want to go on a trip, maybe a vacation to Australia.
Oh, well, you know what I would do if Australia. I've always wanted to go to Sydney. I just love peplums. I love the ladies of yesteryear. The women of the classic era just really had something. Chanel goes on and on.
Girl, I would call this chit chat, but this is shit chat. No one wants to give a shit about what your vacation plans, girl. This isn't Travelocity. Keep it cute, talk about the show, reference Mother, try to win. Because this shows that you can't even be trusted to do a Q&A on your own right now.
Right. The key is keep it just down to a sentence or two. Keep it funny, keep it light, and like you said, keep it referencing the show. You're there to promote the show. That's why you're doing the interview.
And just never say you'll blow up DragCon.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, it says that on the dossier. Yeah. Do not under any circumstances threaten to blow up DragCon.
Hey, with your sisters inside. A peplum is a little spot. Oh, do you want me to put something on to show you? I have something right here. Oh my God. I can do a quick change. No. Okay. Follow my fingers. If here's the titties and then it goes in to the waist and then it comes out at the hips. If there was like fabric that came out like that, like a little peplum that came off your butt.
Yeah. Like, it's like a little flip of a fabric.
Got it.
It's on 117% of everything that Chanel wears.
Makes sense.
Just for reference. Chad does exactly what we just talked about doing. He's representing the show and talking about legacy. Legacy, remember my name, because you're going to see me hanging in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly. And she keeps it very tight, very cute, and then she leaves room for the other divas to give their input.
Well, Juju barely gets a word in, kind of. But that's, you know, squeaky wheel gets the grease too, I always say, which is weird for her. She's never been like one that I've known to be quiet. Maybe it was the hair. I didn't like that hair on her.
She was sitting next to Chanel. She couldn't get a word in.
I think she should have pinched her and then been like, what? Oh, a bug? And then Juju should have said, oh, what was I saying? I would have.
Well, then the dolls get back in the vans. They have to do a full change, and then they read about their next challenge as they're going. And they're going to Hamburger Mary's WeHo for a press conference.
Sweetser.
Featuring the Honorable John Duran from West Hollywood to declare that day RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star Day in the city of West Hollywood. Dipper, can you look up when RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Day is in West Hollywood? Because I need to celebrate. And I want the key to the city.
I mean, maybe it was only that one year.
Oh my God, imagine the bump you could do off the key to the city.
Yes.
That'd be so fun.
Yes.
Do you think Jeffrey Moran knows John Duran?
Yeah.
Is it her alias when she checks into hotel?
You're hotel too much.
I love this day because the Hamburger Mary's burgers that were on the menu for about a year after this were so good. The Raven was like it had an egg on it, and I think like apple slices. And then there was brie sometimes, but I didn't have them put that brie because brie smells like baked like semen. It does never smell right.
The burger looks great. And listen, I don't eat meat. I'm a vegetarian. But to sell the product and to do this, I would take a bite of that burger. And
take a bite.
Enjoy it.
It's a sour meat.
I would because it is a huge honor to have a burger named after you, and the burger sounded really good. Like, they describe it in detail. It has like apple on it covered in honey and like pepper jack cheese melted on it.
Oh, Chanel's has pesto though. Leave it to her burger to do too much. Leave it. Nobody wants fucking pesto on a fucking burger, bitch.
Your burger comes dressed in a lobster costume with Medusa horns coming out of it and peplums.
Also, an epilote shoulder embellishment.
And elote, a classic costume from Beauty and the Beast, the Broadway production.
Oh, who is she, Todrick?
Right, yes.
Buying her wicked dresses.
Right. Then back in the vans they go. And they open they're ripping their wigs off. They're stuck in traffic. Delta's like, this is hard, guys. Sometimes what you think is funny, other people don't.
They don't. And then they're asking her for, like, what's the ending of this? She's like, I went home during the comedy challenge my season.
Oh, yeah. No, there was no ending. Yeah, I just went home.
It's a never ending story. But it ended. Falcor so up and died.
She's like, yeah, good luck though.
He said, get
have
off
fun.
The story does have an ending. Yeah, she's like, five star.
Angina is not turning it as the getaway driver. She's like checking out trade. There's like a guy who's a runner, and she's like, ooh, look guys, there's trade. And Raven's like, we have to get there.
It looked like Max the body from the back. Remember Pit Crew season one?
Wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Girl,
she was giving
me Max the body.
Angina, gone but not forgotten.
No, never. I like that Angina says her All Stars 5 entrance line. She said, I'm trying, there's traffic. Deep Easter egg. podcasting. Yeah, and that's what she said when she walked in on All Stars 5, something like, but I was trying to get here, but Trafic.
Oh my God.
Podcasting.
She just Journalism. Got me together. See, that's the thing, because a faggot will pull a stunt that you don't get until years later. I didn't get that reference. We probably talked about it on the podcast, and you probably mentioned that that's the reason she said it, right?
I like to repeat myself at least 5 times every episode of something I've said before. Just for consistency.
Tell us about Calexis, though.
Oh, I know her. She's from Texas.
All my Calexis live in Texas.
All the Davenports distribute.
Angina, that is a deep pull. I love that. That makes me so happy. Wow. Drag Race is a good show.
So every girl should have a tight five ready to do. So this All-Star Comedy Review Challenge is a great idea. Like,
yeah.
Going and meeting an audience, getting them to like you. And we're going to talk about it as soon as we come back, because we're going to do a tight break, too.
Yeah.
Before this tight
five. The red light just came on. We have to take a break.
I'm going to give you a loose 10. How about that?
So the divas show up at the Comedy Store.
Which is half the battle, just showing up.
Exactly. And each queen will only have 5 minutes to do a set. Mm-hmm. And Jujubee does great. Her look is very casual.
I love it. It's Kelly Kapowski down.
She can pull off a casual moment because she's just so effortlessly gorgeous.
Yeah, she's just a girl doing a little comedy set. Like, she's funny.
Yeah.
And then she puts on glasses and does her grandma. And
yeah.
It's exactly what you want from Jujubee. It's a good time.
Really funny and really lovely. Chad faces her fear over this. She was really, like, scared to do this. But I thought she did such a strong job. She talks about being a drag cougar. She talks about plastic surgery.
She leans into the cone jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, why not? I mean, you have to address, like, the elephant in the room. Which is, you know, that she may have had a procedure once or two.
I think it's just a lot of water and yoga. Raven talks about falling in love in jail, and Rue thinks it's funny and loves it, and Raven, like, he is such a great host. If you're ever in town with a show that has her name on it, go.
Oh, yeah.
She will get people together every time.
She has no trouble with a microphone. None, I mean, she's very Clay. Effortlessly funny.
Clay.
Clay legs.
Just Chanel does the bit that was recommended be excised from her rehearsal about a man living in a black woman's body. And Rue is giving her smile where the bottom teeth show a little bit more, like the that one. And Michelle is Stone Cold Carter.
And what is this? This is very much the AAVE used for humor by white performers idea. What does that
What's
mean?
What's AAVE?
African American Vernacular English is AAVE. And there's a large conversation about people who don't speak that way normally slipping into it for humor.
Like RuPaul?
We've talked about that, but obviously, you know, RuPaul,
she's allowed,
is a black person.
Yeah.
So she's using it's sort of like a micro way of cultural appropriation that people sort of let slide as like, oh, that's slang or that's internet culture, whatever. But if you really explore it, it's exploitative. And that's literally what Chanel did.
Yeah.
Which is a conversation we're having now that wasn't being had, you know,
right,
years ago when this was happening.
I just don't like her hair. So that's my notes on this.
Her hair was, according to her stand.
Yeah. I'm like, why would you go out of your way to like present yourself in a way that you're digging on? Like, you can find something funnier.
Yeah.
Like, I don't fucking know. Talk about peplums.
Right.
And be so serious about them, because she is, that the audience is just like, this fucking whack job. And then by the end, they're like, I don't know. I just didn't enjoy Chanel's set. But I did enjoy seeing some of my friends. I saw
in the audience.
Emmy-winning Hector Pocasandre. I think I said that right. From Plaid Studios.
I also saw Johnny Makeup, I think, at Hamburger Mary's.
Yes, for sure. Grindr was lit that day.
Right.
John Duran, Johnny Makeup, Raven.
There was some definitely familiar faces in the audience, as per usual. Mm-hmm. The next day, the ladies are having mirror chats, also known as Chanel chats. I don't even remember what they were talking about in the mirror chats.
She was like, I can unicycle,
I can juggle.
Oh, right. Because they each say, like, why do you think you deserve to win? I think I represent charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. I represent the platform RuPaul.
I can juggle. I can chop a log while spinning a bowling pin on my nose.
I wear clothes. The clothes do not wear me. And that in itself is a skill which I possess. And I also am able to execute.
The possession of just that skill does not encompass all of my talents, but I am beautiful on the inside.
As well as externally.
Thank you. Yes.
Wait, what did she say to Alaska when we had her on the phone?
Something about ugly girls being brave.
She said I was ugly. No, she said, something like that. I love what you've done with drag because you've shown that it's not about, you know, being beautiful or even talented. Which I like work.
Okay,
on.
Now you're paraphrasing, but I appreciate it so
read
much.
Read me to Boots. The dirt. I need
will you hold
it.
These boots while I shovel dirt on your chest? Thank you. I'd like to shovel dirt on your boots.
We're going to put the clip in because we probably have new listeners who haven't heard that from season 1.
Oh, girl, go back to that episode if you've never heard that, everybody, where my sister gets told exactly what she is.
For sure. And, I mean, obviously, thank you for all of your success and the fact that you've really helped to kind of change the face of drag. And I think that a lot of people finally recognize that, and I don't think a lot of people did know that to begin with. But, you know, it isn't always about beauty and glamour and pageantry and all that sort of stuff. So I think that, you know, having yourself as a representative, you know, as the winner, really did help to kind of change the dynamic and the way people understand and see the face of drag now. So yeah, it's truly a blessing.
Thank you. We love Chanel.
We love her. Deep friend, deep salute. And also a deep salute to this main stage look that Rue is serving up. This glittering orange Fanta gown and then this like yellow hair. It's so good. And then Matthew like threw some feathers up in it. The asymmetry of it all. Deep, 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 deep. Very deep salute.
I love this look. It's really, really elegant. We have guest judges for the finale, which is not usual. Usually it's like it's just family, but we have Michelle Santino. We also have Beth Ditto from That's Gossip.
And Sherry O'Terry.
That's Hot Goss.
Yes, Sherry O'Terry, Hot Goss.
I appreciate both
Malcolm
of these judges because they've all worn wigs. Beth Ditto and Sherry are like they know about drag. They know how hard it is. They're perfect judges. And this runaway category is dressed to kill. So,
I'm dressed to kill, and you know that I will. Yes.
Chad Michaels is in a drag warrior bodysuit. It's very along the lines of what she was pushing 2011, 2012.
Yes,
it's a trendy drag garment, and she looks great.
Yeah, it's nothing, a bodysuit is nothing groundbreaking, but it has, like, the details in the shoulder, it has the, like, nude illusion down the leg, which is very hard to, like, execute and make look good.
Without puckering.
And she puts a little pageant earring on in there just to let you know where she comes from.
She's got crown hair on, she could definitely be crowned in that.
She does. She's ready to perform. She's ready to, like, do the final lip sync. And she's prepared. I like this look a lot. She looks cool. And she's definitely dressed to kill.
Mm-hmm.
Jujubee is in the aqua green bohemian ruffle
dress. You like
dress.
How I look in the aqua green? Get the shoeless heels.
in a tan heelless heel, which I didn't realize they were heelless until she took them off and untucked.
Chanel is a crustacean of some sort.
The lobster queen of doom. I love this.
You know what? This is what happens when they do the Little Mermaid at Parliament House.
Yes, it is. She's like, the seaweed is always greener in someone else's lake.
Thank you, King Triton. Thank you.
You know what? I believe that being under the sea and at the bottom of the ocean is where I belong, and also where you belong.
And my peplum keeps me down there. Raven,
you know, I've always wanted to go to the bottom of the sea. I've wanted to go to the ocean floor.
The ladies of Yester Sea.
It's better down where it's wetter. I love this look, though. She looks fucking sick. She's always doing the most, and that's drag.
It's drag. It's perfect. Raven is also perfect, though. She's in a panties and bras.
Yes.
And it's a sheer nude robe. It looks like the alien lady that she did last time with the plastic face. It looks like her, like, coming into the earth in her human disguise.
Right. Very that. And none of the pieces are groundbreaking, but
she looks great.
The way that she's put them together is very, like, fashion forward for drag at that time. And people have always looked to Raven for, like, makeup trends, for hair trends, for clothing trends. And she looks awesome. All the things
Raven has worn on the season, I pretty much would have still worn today. It's all, like, mm-hmm. classic, simple stuff. Kind of like what you do, where, like, it can be timeless.
Right. Yeah. Well, the critiques, the judges,
from Rita Repulsa herself. Michelle is a fucking. Michelle looks like a fucking superhero in this for no good goddamn reason. She's not saving nothing. Like,
but there's a necklace that says "Hunty," which takes it to casual.
Girl, she looks like a gift shop in P-Town threw up on her.
Yeah, she looks great. I love that.
She has
that.
Everything Rita Repulsa. On.
Grow, my monsters, grow!
Grow, my drag queens! Chanel starts crawling backwards, upside down.
The bunnies will destroy you! They love Chad's looks overall.
Yeah, her speech at Hamburger Mary's was great. It referenced a brand. Her stand-up routine had some real jokes in there. I remember Sherry said she put in some, like, good hard work with all the stuff.
Yeah.
And Santino's an asshole and says it's practiced.
Yeah.
Yeah. So moving on from her.
Jujubee, she couldn't get a word in the interview, which they were much displeased about. She did great in the comedy challenge. And they say that she holds back. She's holding back. Well, wait for when she goes on All Stars again, because she wasn't holding back there, Toots.
Nope. For Chanel, Santino loved her look, but her comedy was off. And Beth Ditto said, nope, 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 nope.
It's a Beth Ditto.
Nope. Yeah, hell
on
no.
On today.
Raven is told that she is chic personified, mm-hmm. but that her face was shiny at Hamburger Mary's. It's like, shut the fuck up. She is such a cool queen, and she's always switching it up and showing the judges something that's new that they haven't seen before. She really is a trendsetter. She is her own trend alert, honestly.
She is definitely. And they say that they let the girls know. They say, Chanel and Jujubee, this is not your moment.
No. Hit it, Toots. And we're going to take a break. Yeah. This is not your moment either right now, Alaska.
Oh, wow.
We're on a break.
Know her as a beauty icon, a fashionista, a finalist from RuPaul's Drag Race season 3, and a fan favorite, but mostly you know her as the girl with black hair that has a blonde streak. So please welcome
to a segment that we like to call
Manila's Musings.
Was it generally good for your career being on All Stars 1? Like, what was your takeaway after being on it?
Well, I think that's like the biggest concern that all of us queens had. You know, like, we had an expectation that we had to not only fulfill, but to surpass. I know that going into it, like, I was top two. So I knew that, like, okay, if I don't make top two or if I don't win this, anything I do on the show is going to be, like, less than what I did before. So there was a lot of pressure that I put on myself. But then, like, you know, again, it's like, you know, like, you just kind of go in there and you're like, okay, well, I'm just going to, like, make some good TV, have my moments, and, like, you know, like, be a reality TV star in that way. So it was fun to go, but yeah, there was definitely a lot of pressure. It was lots of pressure.
And
also we spent a lot of money. We all spent a lot of money.
Right.
Mm,
you and Latrice got kind of, I mean, you got kind of shafted and sent home way earlier than I, as a viewer, would have liked to have seen. But out of that, we got the song, The Chop.
The Chop.
Which has now become the theme song of the podcast, The Job.
Our new podcast. And honestly, that's what it's the prize that I got from being on All Stars was getting to partner up with Latrice, get to share in this experience with her, form that sisterhood. And because we were forced to do it, it really strengthened it because we were fighting for our own survival in this competition together. And so it resonated so deep and hard in us. And when we went home too soon, we knew it was like, it was crazy. And we knew that it was going to be an upset. And we knew that, like, at that point, like, yeah, production was more excited about, like, getting a reaction from the audience than whatever. So we were just happy to play along with that. And, you know, when we got eliminated too soon, we were like, girl, let's, like, team up. Let's, like, make a song. Let's release the song, like, right in time with, like, the episode. And we kind of, we helped set, like, the standard of, like, what queens do when they get eliminated. Now you get eliminated, you release your record, you got your music video, you got the whole package ready to go, right?
That's right.
I'm sorry, my dears, but this is not
your moment.
Chad,
please help yourself
Raven.
To the beverages waiting backstage, and your car will be here soon. You are not staying at the hotel tonight. We have your things.
No, they have to stand at the back of the stage and watch the proceedings go down.
Girl, this is like Sansa watching, like, her dad's head get hung up. So mean.
Right. Well, Chad and Raven, it comes down to this. They characterize this as old school versus new school, which I can kind of see. And the song is called Responsitranity by RuPaul. He said, don't stop believing.
That was my favorite part of the lip sync for Chad when he gave, like, deep shoulder action.
Give him that deep shoulder action, ladies.
Raven did some light floor work. She put her robe on the ground before, like a lady does, like a lady do. Mm-hmm. And she didn't put a runner in her pantyhose. And she looked, everybody looked great. You know. It was. I think we knew that Chad was slated for the win. I always felt it.
Okay, but I remember at the time, I really felt like it could have gone to either of them. But if you look at the overall arc of Chad in the season, I think that's really what tipped it over. They both did very well on this final challenge, but it's really about the whole journey. And I think Chad overall just had a better track record and kind of just had a better showing.
Yeah, totally. And he wasn't in the bottom two times in a row on the last two challenges.
Right.
But Raven, I remember distinctly being in a car with her the night at Mickey's that she was told that she didn't win. and they...
So wait, set the scene for me. What is the timeline of that? When?
This was her not in drag on the Monday night that they crowned Chad.
Was it the day it was airing?
Yes.
So they filmed two endings.
They filmed two endings. She was told beforehand that she wasn't going to be the winner. And then I was in a car with her in Detox when I was in the backseat. And she was listing, I won't say the number, but she said they pay me this much kit fee or whatever for Drag U. I remember clearly, I will never work for them again. It was... And I understood because I was like, wow, like all the Drag U stuff she had done for them. And then she comes back for All Stars and they didn't win. Like, I also thought Raven was definitely could have been a winner. But I remember being in that car and that happening. And then just seeing now that she's literally Rue's assistant. And, you know, she's the closest to the mothership. It's like an exact 180 from what she said that night in the car because she was plucked. And she, like, for her not to get in drag for her show at Mickey's, she was like, no.
Well, we've all said that.
See, this is one time. I've said it one time and another and another and another. Exactly. And I keep talking about it. But this is one time when you're like, you know what? I will have that cigarette break with you girls that I'm glad like I went, because I have like a cigarette occasionally, like once a year, and I had it.
That was your night. Dancing free, smoking free until the morning light.
I wonder if they crowned Chad and then reset and crowned Raven, because the footage they got of Raven not winning.
Oh, it's Nooch.
It's real.
Zilla.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Now when the girls win, they're all, because they know it's not the actual moment.
I'm acting.
I'm acting.
When Sharon got on and I didn't get on, I told the person right on the phone, I was like, I'm never auditioning for your fucking show again, so go fuck yourself. And then I did, so we saw how that turned out. So no, we listen, that's why competition is exciting, because it's
wait,
glorious.
You lost your temper?
Is right, imagine. It's glorious for some, and it is, you know, very dramatic and really upsetting, so upsetting to others. That's why it's fun to watch. But you know what? I think Raven has done pretty good for herself.
Yeah.
She is doing drag makeup on a scale that is seen around the whole world.
Emmy nominated currently.
Exactly. So I don't think she
recognized for greatness by the Academy.
Exactly. I don't think she's doing too bad. We love you, Raven, very much.
You know what else is great? RuPaul is espousing some knowledge in this episode of Untucked. Ru tells Juju, when Juju says she wants to help others and fix and be a people pleaser, Ru says, "You're doing a world a disservice by trying to repair it." Like, the fuck? This is why you need to take her masterclass, or at least like watch me take her masterclass on my Patreon, because like there are so many gems that you will want to cross stitch on a pillow just so people can come into your house and go like, do you kill cats too?
Right,
because like some of the stuff she says is straight up fucking crazy.
Yeah,
anyway,
well, this is okay. Let's set the scene for Untucked. It's an exciting episode because
I think it's in that room with Form Decor, isn't it?
Oh, it is Form Decor.
Is
it?
Oh, chic. I have this at home.
So beautiful. Yeah, so do I. I'm renting all my furniture.
Pulls. Your furnitures are pulls.
Form Decor.
Oh,
Form
watch.
Decor.
That ottoman is a pull.
Please don't put your cigarette out in the ottoman today. I'm renting it.
Please use the Helix mattress in the back bedroom. That's where Chanel likes to smoke. And
it's
Raya.
All staged. This is the scene is that RuPaul says, "Oh, you have a very special surprise waiting." They go into the gold room, and RuPaul is sitting there ready to do a sit down interview. And RuPaul took the feather out of her hair. She changed gowns.
Mm-hmm.
And did this interview, which they must have been
in a van driven by Rebecca Glasscock.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a sit-down interview, except Chanel and Jujubee are standing, which is the shadiest fucking thing. So wait, you're going to give two of the divas a chair and tell the other two divas to stand?
Maybe they did that part after they already told them they lost. No chairs for you.
That is literal deep psychological wackoness. And
well, maybe they filmed two and then they were like, y'all look weird standing. We're going to seat the next two girls. Because you know All Stars 1 was not thought out. It was like storylined on a post-it.
No, they're all together.
Oh, really?
It was all four, at the same time
with two chairs.
I didn't watch Untucked, but y'all know
it
that.
It was deep psychological shit going on. And then Chanel said, I mean, there's a lot of conversations that happen. And yes, this is the moment where RuPaul is sort of like offering like psychological and spiritual advice. Chanel, though, in the other room says, I know I'm not going to win, and I am completely okay with that. And
season one all over again.
I have proven to myself. And the other girls are like, no, how can you say that? But I kind of like, I kind of hear Chanel on this because she's like, I received critiques. I know that this is not my moment. Let me own the fact that I know this is not my moment. I'm not, you know. So, you know, she's, yes, it is season one all over again.
Did you know that season five was not your moment?
I did. But whenever I would even entertain that notion or go down that path, the people who were my support system and, you know, it was like, you can't say that. You might win. And so it was very like, it's like a lot, like holding on to that and then, you know, kind of knowing and feeling that that's how it's going to go. And then it finally does go that way.
That's hot goss.
That's hot goss.
Well, all these dolls are hungry for the All-Star title. Yeah. Chanel, to quote, says, I know I'm not going to win it and I'm completely okay. I already feel like a winner. Which right. is her perfect arc for the season, and you did just say that, but now that I'm reading on the outline, it just bears repeating that she's just such a great character for reality TV. I hope she comes back for All Stars.
I would absolutely adore that.
I wish
she would have gotten a chance to lip sync just so she could have tipped her head and the lobster headpiece could have fallen off and then we could have seen the vulnerability.
I mean, what if when she spun in that outfit, her peplum like flared up and a bunch of little hermit crabs came out from underneath and they were red and sparkly too?
Uh-huh.
That would be amazing. That would be drag.
Yes. That's hot drag.
This is the shortest episode of Drag Race ever. It's only
the shortest season.
Yeah, that's what I mean, actually. Yeah. But I've been supplementing my Drag Race viewings with the Vegas show. Those girls.
Gosh.
Those Naomi, just because you're 6'4 doesn't make you fierce.
Messy and dramatic.
It's
really great.
I'm Team Naomi Asia all the way.
I don't know. Where do we go next?
I want to talk about Vegas. I will recap it. I will Housewives recap those girls because, like, I am living and I want to talk about it because one of the girls came so far out of pocket, there was lint all over her face, like when you turn your jeans inside out. Girl, I want to correct something because you can't come into the drag community and think that you can just like say these things to our sisters that have been working there for years and let your lips just loose on us. No. I don't care who you fuck.
Well, who knows? Maybe we'll be doing some sort of review.
A she cap?
We've just wrapped up a season of All Stars, so I don't know what comes next in the order of Classique.
Doom, doom, doom. Who knows?
But stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay face tuned.
Stay often and stay tuned.
This week on Mom, we have some very exciting developments.
For the CHOP listeners, you may have figured it out by now that we're moving the show to Tuesdays from now on.
Oh.
Trying to give you
programming.
Programming changes. Mm-hmm. We need to put the Mom content throughout the week to keep you going. So keeping your favorite queens in your ears. And yeah. You could put your ear pods right back after you're done listening so you don't lose them.
That's
some of you I know aren't working with everything. I'm using a Delta headset right now that I found in my bag.
Oof.
Girl.
So sorry.
Thank you, Delta, though.
Thank you.
Thank
Delta
you.
Lena.
And, oh, I miss her. She's probably so deflated right now. thank you so much for joining us for Race Chaser. Give me the pub.
Somebody just give me a pub.
I normally get my work done in Geneva. I do the international route.
Geneva Convention. Thank you so much for joining us for Race Chaser. Class week. We promise to continue to provide you with award-winning content every single week.
I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And if you want to rate our podcast and comment about how much you love it, we would love that. And if you leave a reading, a rating, you need to hit the 5-star one. Mm-hmm. And then you leave us a little note like, oh, I loved her hair. And then by reading those reviews, we stopped letting Alaska eat on the show. We gave Dipper a microphone. Mm-hmm. We even realized that you thought our political segment on Hot Goss was supposed to be news. So, wait, it's not?
No.
Someone does read the comments. It is not me, but Big Dipper does scour them. And,
Big Drippingtons.
And apply the notes accordingly.
Yeah.
You can follow the dolls at Willem at the Only Alaska 5000. And our Race Chaser podcast is at Race Chaser Pod. And in the link tree on Instagram are links to Black Lives Matter resources and organizations. And you can use the hashtag Race Chaser whenever you post.
And if you want to talk to us, you can email us at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com. And we have bonus content. It's available at patreon.com/Willem. And you can find the videos by searching the hashtag racechaser. And then you pay for what you want to watch. And then it's yours.
I said
don't
stop believing. Bye.
That's Hot Goss.
That's Hot Goss.
Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.